anyone sins, their sins are forgiven, and if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Well, we thank God for the reading of his word. I want to lead us in prayer again. And I'm going to, when I was a little boy in Sunday school, we used to sing a chorus. And I'm going to try and recite. But let me try to. Peter and John went to pray. They met a young man on the way. He asked for alms and held out his palms, and this is what Peter did say. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And of course that little chorus from my Sunday school days reminds us of a wonderful story in the New Testament. Peter and John had something to offer the man that they met. Now, like Peter and John, I don't have any silver or gold to offer you this evening. But because I'm not a first century apostle, I'm afraid that I don't have the authority or power to offer you healing for your body this side of eternity. But I do have something really wonderful to offer each and every one of us this evening. And it is the truth of God concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we hear the truth concerning the risen King, my hope and prayer is that we will be able to leave this building tonight walking and leaping and praising God. Maybe not literally, but at least walking and leaping and praising God with our hearts. Tonight we're going to be looking at the story of Thomas, and I need to turn back to John chapter 20. And if you haven't already turned your Bibles to that chapter, let me encourage you to turn to it. We're going to look at this story of Thomas. I'm sure it's a familiar story to many of us. Thomas, of course, was one of Jesus' disciples. But the day that Jesus appeared to his disciples, Thomas was missing. He wasn't around. We don't know where he was. We can only surmise as to where he might have been. But eventually the disciples and Thomas met up. And of course the other disciples were full of joy because they had seen the Lord. And we can imagine what they might have said to Thomas when they met him. "Thomas, he's alive. Thomas, he showed us his hands and his feet. Thomas, he actually spoke to us." Now you would have thought, wouldn't you, that Thomas would have been really excited at hearing this wonderful news, but Thomas sadly refused to believe and said to them, verse 25, Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And so Thomas spent a whole week in unbelief. The other disciples were excited and full of hope and joy, whereas I suspect Thomas spent the week sad and unhappy and without hope. His Messiah was dead. It was all over. And you know, don't believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, we too can expect to be without hope. Indeed, if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, we have no hope. No hope of forgiveness or peace with God. As we've already sung this evening, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we are still in our sins. If Jesus is still dead, if he's still in the grave, then he is still paying the price for our sins. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we have no hope of forgiveness and peace with God. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we have no hope of having spiritual life. That there is no being made alive together with Christ, as Paul speaks about in Ephesians 2. We're spiritually dead. And without the life of God within us. If we express any kind of excitement in church, though of course there is no church if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, it's all pretense, it's all show. Everything we do amounts to meaningless religiosity. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we would be better off at home this evening watching the television or doing something else. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we have no sympathetic high priest sitting at the right hand of the Father. We're on our own. I can't remember whether it was last week or the week before, but I was conducting a funeral, and after the Thanksgiving service in here, we went over the road and into the burial ground, and there was a very short service around the grave, and I pointed the family to the risen Lord Jesus. I said, we can turn to a God who understands our pain because he has come into this world in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. He's able to sympathize with us. He's able to comfort us, to strengthen us in our sadness. But you know, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, everything that I said was an absolute load of nonsense. I was no real help on that particular occasion to anyone. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we have no hope of a bodily resurrection. All our hopes and dreams of receiving one day new and glorious bodies fit to dwell with God forevermore amount to nothing more than a fantasy. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we of all people most to be pitied. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, to be quite frank, we have no real reason for living. We were created to worship and serve God and to enjoy him. Those of us who are Christians here tonight, we were redeemed. We were saved in order that we might live every moment of our lives for the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But if he's dead, if he's not alive, then what is our reason for living? We might as well eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now, I've never put it quite like this before. You can see what I've done, can't you? I've put it in very negative terms. In the hope that I might impress upon us that there is no hope, there is no joy in life for us if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. If Jesus didn't rise, then our lives will be like Thomas's week of unbelief. But thank God, Jesus did rise from the dead, and therefore we do have hope. Let's look at the rest of the story. Verse 26. A week later, the disciples were in the same house again, and this time Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. And he provided Thomas with the very things that he had insisted upon. He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And in verse 28, we see what surely amounts to one of the most wonderful confessions in the whole of the Bible. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." You know, the previous Sunday, Thomas, I think, believed that he was the one sitting upon the throne. That he was the one who had the right to call all the shots, we might say. You see, he was the one laying down the conditions. If he was going to believe, then Jesus had to show himself to him. But no longer is Thomas laying down the conditions. He's acknowledging Jesus as Lord and God. And we must surely say that Thomas, though perhaps a little ashamed and embarrassed at first, became full of hope and joy as he came face to face with his risen Lord. Then Jesus said to him, verse 29, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." And it's the last part of what Jesus says that I'm particularly interested in this evening. You see, you and I are those who have not seen. We came onto the world stage around about 2,000 years too late. Jesus has come and he has gone. He has ascended to the right hand of the Father. But we have read the apostolic witness. We have heard their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And we have come to believe on him. And we are now blessed, wonderfully blessed. Because Jesus rose from the dead and we have come to believe in him, we can be assured that we are forgiven and are at peace with God. When Jesus died on the cross, we believe that he paid the price for our sins, that he purchased our forgiveness. But it is his resurrection that assures us that the Father accepted the sacrifice that he offered. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, Paul writes, "He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. And our justification results in peace with God." Romans 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." Isn't that lovely? Because Jesus rose from the dead, we can be assured that we are forgiven and at peace with God. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we who believe have new life in him. I love what Paul writes in Ephesians 2 and verse 5. He says, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Sorry, I'm going back to verse 3, but I will get to verse 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. When we trusted in Christ, what happened? What happened was this, that the Holy Spirit united us or joined us to Christ, a little bit like a branch is joined or connected to a vine. And we now share in his life, just as the branch shares in the life of the vine. And we will do so forever, because once in him forever. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have a sympathetic high priest. Jesus, as we know, rose from the dead, and after he rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples, and after he appeared to his disciples, lots of them, he ascended into heaven, and there, at the right hand of the Father, he sat down, his work done. It's upon his throne that he prays for us. I'm always encouraged whenever I think about this, because there are times in my life when I find it difficult to pray. And maybe there are times in your life when you find it difficult to pray. You're just so cast down. You're so weighed down by the things of the world. Are other people around you praying for you? Are other people in the church praying for you? Well, perhaps they are. But if they're not, then you can rest assured that Jesus is praying for you. Jesus never grows tired of praying for you, Christian friend. Constantly is he interceding on your behalf. Not only does he pray for us there, he waits there for us to come to him in prayer. When we're in need, when we're struggling, in order that we might receive grace to help us during our time of me. I just love the fact that there's nothing too small or too big that we can bring to Jesus. Sometimes we face troubles in life and we just think they're insurmountable, don't we? How many times in your life have you faced problems that you thought were impossible to overcome, and yet you've brought them to the Lord Jesus and somehow he's seen you through? Well, we shouldn't be surprised by that, because all authority under heaven and on earth has been given to him. He can move mountains for the sake of those whom he loves. Because Jesus rose again, we have the certain hope of a glorious resurrected body. And of course, we were talking about this morning. The Israelites, as we said this morning, brought their first fruits to the Lord. But their first fruits were exactly that, first fruits. There was a greater harvest still to come, and in the New Testament, Jesus is described as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep or have died. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we can rest assured that all those who are in him will one day rise with glorious resurrected bodies. Now, as I was preparing for this busy weekend, I did wonder how I would feel by the end of Sunday evening. I anticipated that I would feel a little bit tired. It's not the amount of work that's involved in preparing for a busy Easter weekend. It's the mental exhaustion at the end of it. It's the nervous exhaustion at the end of it. This is why I take Mondays off, because I'm normally feeling quite tired on a Monday morning. And it gives me the opportunity to recharge my batteries before I get going again on a Tuesday morning. But there's coming a day when I, as a believer, shall receive a resurrected body. And I won't need Mondays off anymore. neither will you. Because we'll never grow tired serving the risen and exalted Lord Jesus day by day. And some of you perhaps who are feeling a little bit tired tonight and struggling to listen to the prayers and, or perhaps listening to me, well, you won't have that problem when you receive your new and glorious body. But we only receive one because Christ is risen. Fifthly and lastly, because Christ is risen, we can have the joy of living a full life. A life of living for the risen Lord Jesus in the power of the Spirit. Living for Jesus is not a waste of time. It's what we were created and redeemed to do. To serve Jesus, to live for Jesus is to live life in its fullness. And as we engage in Christian work, as we engage in gospel ministry, it is by no means a waste of time. It's certainly not in vain. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. If Jesus was dead, it would be a waste of time. It would all be in vain. We could justly be laughed at as believers engaged in gospel work. But because Jesus is risen from the dead, it makes perfect sense to engage in serving Jesus. Friends, because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can have hope and joy. We are really blessed. If we have not seen, yet have believed. Let me reiterate this evening that I can't offer you any silver or gold. Well, that's not strictly true. Because I'm not penniless. I do have a little, but I must be honest and say if I were to distribute all that I have among you, it might leave you somewhat disappointed. Neither can I offer you good health in this life. But what I can offer you this evening is the truth concerning the risen Lord Jesus Christ and the hope and joy that it brings when received. Men have pursued joy in every avenue imaginable. Some have successfully found it while others have not. Perhaps it would be easier to describe where joy cannot be found. Not in unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel of the most pronounced type. He wrote, "I wish I had never been born." Not in pleasure. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure. If anyone did, he wrote, "The worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone." Not in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty of that, but when dying, said, "I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth." Not in position and fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both, yet he wrote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret." And not in military glory. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day, but having done so, he wept in his tent before he said, "There are no more worlds to conquer." Where then is real joy to be found? And the answer is simple: in Christ alone, the risen and ascended Lord. I don't know how you felt when you came to church this evening, but I do hope and pray that the truth concerning the risen Lord Jesus Christ will send us all away rejoicing. I trust that we'll be rejoicing through the night and into the coming week until we meet again on the Lord's day. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that Jesus rose from the dead.